بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وأبيك الله سبحانه وتعالى for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This 21st day of Ramadan, 21st day of Ramadan, 1426 years after the Hijrah of our Lord and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. Inshallah, today we shall continue with Surah Al-Baqarah, and the ayah we read yesterday was the 37th ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. That's the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فتلقى آدم من ربه كلمات فتاب عليه إنه هو التواب الرحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying in that ayah that Nabi Adam alayhi salam, after realizing that he had offended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learned some dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then used that dua to appeal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him his sin, his mistake, and to pardon him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ, and Allah accepted the dua. إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of forgiving and merciful. We are saying in this that Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam did not just do istighfar, he first of all had to learn the istighfar that he would do. And we're saying very important that even the dua you're going to say, the istighfar you're going to do, the tasbih you want to do, and so on, you have to learn how to do them. Just like you know that qira'atul Quran too, you have to learn, and that's the greatest of azkar. You have to learn how to do these things, you have to ask questions. When the Sahaba wanted to do a salatu ala nabi, they had to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam how to do it. And Allah was even telling the Sahaba that those who offended, who wronged themselves, if only they had gone to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and after going to the Prophet they had done istighfar. Why was it necessary for them to go to the Prophet before doing istighfar? They had to go to him to learn how to do it, what word to use. If they had done that, وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had also sought Allah's forgiveness on their behalf, لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابَ الرَّحِيمَ, then and only then would they have found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of forgiving and merciful. So these are the conditions. Don't just fall into istighfar and say what you like to say. Because like we were saying, some people will choose to do the istighfar in a terrible way, but rather than obtain Allah's mercy, they will annoy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They get Allah angry because they will use the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. They will offend Allah instead of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to learn from Allah how to do it is the best thing to do. This, the qira'ah we use is the first qira'ah for this ayah. You can read it in two ways, as far as I know. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. What's the second one? The second qira'ah of this ayah will show you exactly what the ayah actually means. That's why you need the qira'at of the Quran to be able to understand the tafsir, the meaning of the Quran. You have to understand the qira'at. If you don't, you will never understand completely what the Quran is talking about. The first qira'ah that we have for this ayah, أَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Some of the people that are used to reciting the Quran with the qira'ah of Nafi'a, the riwayah of Warsh or Qawwam. Are you conversant with that? What do you say in Warsh? Is it the same, أَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ؟ Huh? No. What do you say? Yeah? You are saying no. You don't know when you say no. In another qira'ah, you say, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمَ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٌ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. In this qira'ah, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. So Adam here is the fa'il. Talaqqa, he learned from his Lord. But فَتَلَقَّى آدَمَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam from his Lord كَلِمَاتٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught al-kalimat to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. So Allah here is the fa'il, and then maf'ul is Adam alayhi salam. Do you understand? So it's the word from Allah that met Adam. The word was taught Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. In the other qira'ah that we use first, Adam learned from his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. They all mean the same thing. Because if Allah brings the words to you, you have learned. If you ask him, he will still bring. So you have learned. Do you understand? So this ayah is true. But even the istighfar that Adam alayhi salatu wa salam was going to say, Allah has to teach him. He has to receive that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you now think you have wronged yourself, and you want to ask Allah for forgiveness, what the best thing to do? To do what Adam did. Learn from your Lord. How do I do the istighfar? Do you say, oh Lord, forgive me because you have to? What do we say? We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If everybody was just to do what he thought was right, we would be doing different things, and we're supposed to do the same thing. That's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us istighfar. Taught us istighfar. And Sayyidul istighfar he taught us. What is it? Allahumma anta rabbi. La ilaha illa anta. Khalaqtani wa ana abduk. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'at. Wa a'udhubika min sharri ma sana'at. Abu'u laka bi ni'matika alay. Wa abu'u laka bi dhibbi faghfirli. فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. You say this istighfar, you have al-Jannah. Straight away, you have al-Jannah. Or, لا إله إلا أنت, سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. You say this, you have al-Jannah. This on its own is istighfar. You have not asked Allah to forgive you anything, but you have done istighfar all the same. Because all the stages of istighfar you have passed through. You have called unto Allah alone. That's one. You have called him with his attributes. That's second. Thirdly, you have told Allah, you have confessed to Allah that you are a sinner. You have confessed to Allah you are a sinner. That's all that Allah wants. You realize that you have committed a sin, and you regret ever committing that sin, and you don't want to commit it again. You're forgiven. That is all. That man whose story we read, which appeared in an authentic hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't even ask Allah for forgiveness. All he did was to realize first of all that he had actually made a mistake. he had sinned against Allah, and he knew that if he met Allah with those sins, Allah would punish him. That's all he did. He didn't say, "Oh Allah, forgive me." He didn't say it with his mouth, but his heart had done that. So, he said these words, Al-Ma'thurat and Al-Jannah is yours, insha'Allah. That's what Nabi Adam did, and that's what we should all do. We want to say the istighfar, learn from Allah, learn from Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we say it? You stick to what the Prophet teaches you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is nothing like confession to another person in Islam. It's not done. We are not Christians. You don't go to a human being like yourself and start telling him all that you have done. It's not proper. In Islam, Allah teaches us, لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم. The only person that is allowed in Islam to make, you know, to say words that might sound ugly, it would be that person who has been abused, for instance, he has been insulted, and he insults back. That's permitted. You are allowed to do that, even though it's not the best thing to do. The best thing to do is to say good words to the person who has been hurt to you. If somebody has been rude, or somebody has been insulted, the best thing to do in Islam is to bless him, to ask Allah to bless him, to tell him good words, good words. That's the best thing to do. But if you say to him exactly what he said to you, there's no offense in that. Apart from that, no Muslim is allowed to say anything ugly. So you smoked before. It's not like a Muslim to come and now write a book and say, once he was a smoker, or he used to tease women a lot before Allah guided him, and then he now doesn't do it again. We are not supposed to write that. We are not supposed to say it. If you have done something terrible in your life, the deal to confess to is Allah. أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء لك بذنبي فاغفر لي. It's only Allah you tell that. I realize, I accept, I acknowledge your ni'am on me, your blessings on me. I acknowledge them and I thank you for them. I also confess to you that I know I have committed sins, I have offended you. So please forgive me. It's Allah you say that to, not a human being. That's why when Ma'iz came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he came to do was to repent to Allah. He had committed an offense, he wanted to repent. So he thought that he had to come and tell the Prophet what he did. And the Prophet was turning away from that. The Prophet was hoping that he didn't say that. And the Prophet was hoping that he would understand and go away and just go and seek Allah's forgiveness and not really tell the Prophet all that he had done. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Ma'iz said, "I committed zina," said, "No, maybe what you mean is that you kissed the woman." He should have just understood and gone away and prayed to Allah for forgiveness, but he kept insisting. And even when he had said 4 or 5 times that he actually did it, the Prophet asked, "Is this man known to be insane? Does he have a history of insanity in his life?" That's why history is very important to us in Islam. Very, very important. Now that the government is almost cutting history, well, now it's making a big mistake. A nation without history is a dog. It's like a dog or pig. Or do pigs care about history? Huh? They hardly do, because they are not even blessed with the ability to use history to move forward. That's why the same thing that puts an animal today, you still find the animal playing with today. Only animals are known to do that, and in fact, not even all animals. Some animals are sensible enough to know that when I touched this yesterday, it wasn't good, so today I won't touch it. even from animals know that. It's the worst of animals that do not as much as know that. Now some do. If a goat comes to eat your maize or your corn or your whatever, millet, and you pour water on it, some of the goats will never come back to you again. Some that have become used to it will always come. Those ones are something else now, whether you pour water or not. But some will not come again. So that's how it is. And even the white man says what? Once bitten. So history is very important. If you know the history of something, then you know how to tackle it. Then you know that this happened so and so, and so this is how this thing should be applied. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asking for his history so that you would know how to deal with him. If he had, you know, that there was psychiatric, in his history, there was a record that he was once a psychiatric teacher, then it means that we will assume that it is that thing in him that has come up now. That's why he said these things. So we will not judge him based on what he said. We will judge him based on his history. So anyway, you are not supposed to come and start saying, "I did this, I did that," to a human being. No. Don't say it to anybody. Say it to Allah. Say it to Allah. What you will ask a human being is, how did the Prophet teach this thing? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have been taught, then go ahead and tell Allah. Don't tell a human being. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving and merciful. Allah loves to forgive so much that he said in his authentic hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Qudsi, Allah was saying to mankind that if only I had created you not to sin, if you would not sin in your life, if you were to live such a life that you will never sin against Allah, Allah said that he would have killed you and created those who will sin and seek his forgiveness, and Allah will forgive them. Because innahu huwa at-tawwab ar-raheem. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at-tawwab ar-raheem. If human beings were to exist without committing any sin, then it would not have been true that Allah is Raheem. It would not have been true that Allah is Ghafoor. When you keep saying this is guaranteed, you have to go to Jahannam, there is no way you can escape it, then you are not teaching the religion of Allah. You are teaching the religion of Shaitan. If Allah has said this sin attracts punishment, yes, tell people that sin attracts punishment. But also tell people that Allah is forgiving if they repent. The people that Allah does not like are the people who will sin and will not repent. I will not even regret. But Allah is very forgiving. And there was a day, you know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying to tell the Sahaba how much Allah forgives. And he said, take, you know, just imagine that there is somebody with his camel, with all his provisions on his camel. And then that person is in the desert. You know, the desert, sometimes you could find 30 kilometers. There would be no trees. 30 kilometers in some desert, 10 kilometers, 5 kilometers. No trees, just land, sand, flat like that. So you know what distance you have to go in the desert not to be seen. If you are here, and somebody keeps walking and walking and walking, he walks to such a distance that you look throughout the desert, you don't see him. How many kilometers will you have to go? If you raise your eyes like this, you're looking. What distance can you see? Hey, there is no obstruction. Huh? understand. Can you see beyond the kilometer street like this? Huh? I don't think so. Huh? With their ordinary eyes. You can see beyond the kilometer? Huh? How many kilometers can you see? Have you tried it before? You just heard and you believe. Huh? Somebody is saying 55. Huh? What? 55,000 kilometers. Anyway, but I don't know. I don't think you can see beyond the kilometer. I don't think so. Just like this looking, without any obstruction, I don't think you can see something beyond the kilometer. But if you can, maybe 2 kilometers, maybe, I don't know. But that's just what I think. Has somebody tried it before? Eh? The sky is different from the land, my brother. The plain, the sky or whatever is different from the land, my brother. It could be something. You look up and you see the sun. If the sun were on the earth, would you see the distance of the sun? I mean, no. I'm giving you an example. When you see things in the sky, it's different from the land. I think it's different. Because the distance of the sun from here, you see the sun, don't you? If the sun were to be dropped on earth, and there was anything that distance on earth, would you be seeing it? You wouldn't. You see it now because it's in the sky, not on the earth. I think there are two different things. If something is placed on this earth, it's different from when it's in the sky. If you are using the sky as an example, I mean, that's something different. Anyway, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are in the desert and you have a camel and you put all your provisions on the camel, and then maybe you went to eat yourself or something, and when you looked, the camel was no longer there. You looked in the desert, you looked everywhere, you couldn't find it. That means the camel has gone far away. So far that it's not probably possible for you to see it again. So you lose hope. You're tired, you're thirsty, you're hungry, everything you have is on that camel. And then you just come and cry under a tree. You know, and you hope. You just sleep off. But you're just waking up, you see the camel just by you, standing by your side. How would you feel? He says, one will be so happy that he will say, oh Allah, you are my servant and I'm your Lord. And there is no offense, because in that state you are not a normal human being. So when somebody is emotional in the Sharia, we don't consider anything he says. That's why if a man gets too angry, he loses himself, and then he says to his wife, I divorce you 400 times. If you come to a good Qadi, he will say no divorce. Now that you are a human being, do you still divorce her? And he will say no. So that time you are so emotional, we will not consider anything you said then. So the man now in his state will say, Allah is his servant and he is Allah's Lord and he is not called the Kafir. But that joy he is feeling, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that Allah is happier with somebody who says Astaghfirullah. You know, this man is very happy, but Allah is happier than he is with his servant who committed offense and comes back to say, I confess and I regret, and inshallah, I will never commit that offense again. Oh Allah, forgive me. Allah is happier with this person than that man is happy that he has found his camel. So Allah likes istighfar, people who realize they have offended Allah and say, Allah forgive me, and Allah is also forgiven. But the istighfar starts from your heart. First you regret, and then there is a resolve that you will never do it again. You have started the istighfar. Even if you didn't get to say astaghfirullah with your mouth, you have already started doing the istighfar with your heart. That's why it matters more. You see, most people, you find some people holding their sofa and something like this, pop, pop, pop. They're saying astaghfirullah and they're looking at the naked woman passing. Saying astaghfirullah and the woman is passing and he is looking. And this istighfar is a waste of time. So that's it. Allah Allah. And قُلْنَا حَدِيثُ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. That's verse number 38.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. قلنا اهبطوا منها جميعا فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن تبع هداي فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. الذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون.
So Allah says, قلنا اهبطوا منها جميعا فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن تبع هداي فلا خوف عليهم وَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Allah says, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. We say to Adam and his wife and the Shaitan, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. Drop ye from Al-Jannah, all of you. فإما يأتينكم مني هدى. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking here as if he says, if it comes, but it actually means if and when it comes, because it shall come to you. When guidance comes to you from me, you see, Allah says, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا, we say, drop ye from Al-Jannah. But then he said, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي. But then when guidance comes to you from me, this is from us. Do you understand? فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ. Whoever follows that guidance which will come from me, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. Those shall have no reason to fear. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And they shall not grieve. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. But for those who rebel against their Lord, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, and disbelieve the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Those shall be the ones who will dwell in النار, hellfire, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, and they shall dwell therein forever. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Adam, Hawa, and Shaitan. That's why he said, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. He didn't say اهْبِطَا. He said اهْبِطُوا. Huh? When he was asking them to enter Al-Jannah, it was Adam and Hawa. So he said, قُدْ أُسْقُلْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ وَقُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين. He kept addressing two people, only two people. Okay? But now, he said, قلنا اهبطوا, drop. And then he said, he used the plural form for three or more. He said, قلنا اهبطوا. He didn't use dual. He was using dual when he was talking about the people that he admitted into Al-Jannah. And all that they had to enjoy in Al-Jannah. He was using dua. But now that he's saying drop from the sky to the earth, he was talking to three or more people. Three particularly in this case. Which means Shaitan was also asked to drop. So Shaitan was in the sky. But was he in Al-Jannah? No. He was not in Al-Jannah. But he had caused the people in Al-Jannah to be dropped from there, and he also had to drop. So now the shaitan is here with us. The Iblis, the rebellious, is here on earth with us. He has his mulk, his throne on water, just like Allah's throne is also on water. Kursiullah al-Ma, and his kursi also, the shaitan is also on water, on this earth. And I hear that one alim said they conducted research and they found out that the kursi of shaitan is actually in the Bermuda Triangle. So the Bermuda Triangle, you keep hearing, that's where the kursi of the shaitan is. That's why plane, anything that passes there will be missing, gone and gone forever. Because with the shaitan, there is death, there is mystery, there is disturbance, there is war. Anything that has to do with